John the Baptist was in Bethabara, near the Jordan River. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and baptizing those who repented. We read of a delegation from the Pharisees in Jerusalem that approached John. They inquired, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" "No, I'm not the Christ." "Well, are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "Well, are you this prophet or that prophet?" "No, I am not." "Well, who are you then?" And John told them, "I'm the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" And he added, "There is someone in this crowd mightier than me, who is preferred before me, and whose shoe latchet, I am not worthy even to unloose." Now in the verse that we consider this morning, we're on the next day after this confrontation with the delegation of the Pharisees. And John the Baptist sees Jesus approaching. And he points him out to the crowd. "Behold, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is the one of whom I spoke, that is mightier than I, who is preferred before me. Behold, the Lamb of God." That Jesus is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, is what we're going to focus on this morning as we approach the Lord's table. Certainly, we will see Jesus at the Lord's table as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And therefore, the charge that John the Baptist gave to the crowds is very pertinent also to us today. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. I call your attention to behold the Lamb of God. Notice with me, first of all, a wonderful Lamb. Secondly, a divine source. Thirdly, an important calling. When John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, he called the people's attention to the sacrificial lambs offered in the temple. Lambs were offered daily at the temple in Jerusalem. Every day there was the morning and evening sacrifice. 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, involving the bloody sacrifice of two lambs. Lambs were also offered in other sacrifices. If you go to the Old Testament regulations for the worship of Israel at the temple, you read of sin offerings, trespass offerings, peace offerings. They involved also the sacrifice of lambs, among other animals. And then we're all aware, aren't we, that every year the people of God are required to observe the Passover, which required the sacrifice of a lamb and then eating that lamb in their homes. These lambs were offered as sacrifices for Israel's sin. They spoke of atonement or payment for the sins of God's people. However, there wasn't one of those sacrifices of all the countless millions of lambs offered through the generations that so much as paid for one sin. of the people of God. If there had been a sacrifice of a lamb that would have paid for sin, they would have ceased and been no more. The very fact that they were offered day after day, year after year, generation after generation, pointed Israel to the fact these sacrifices did not really pay for their sins. They only looked ahead to a greater sacrifice of a greater lamb that would accomplish what they were not able to. Of all this, the people in John's audience were reminded when John pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God. They were Jews. They were well aware of the offerings at the temple. In fact, the people who heard this either were going to the temple to offer a lamb or were returning from the temple. By calling Jesus the Lamb of God, John indicated that Jesus is the one to whom all the Old Testament sacrifices and lambs pointed. And John added, this being the Lamb is the one that takes away sin. Now that's a very important element here in this Word of God. Jesus as the Lamb of God takes away sin. That word to take away means literally to pick something up, to carry it away, and to bring it someplace else so that it's no longer present. Here we're told that Jesus takes away sin. All of us are terrible sinners, to use this figure. Sins of our lives pile up at our feet day by day. They're all chargeable to us. They all condemn us. They all make us worthy of the everlasting destruction and torment of God in hell. Jesus is the Lamb that takes those sins and picks them up and carries them away, far away, and disposes of them so that they're no longer chargeable to us. We're no longer responsible for them in the face of God. When God looks at us and judges us, He no longer sees sin. They are all gone. And we're no longer worthy of His condemning wrath, but now are heirs to all His blessings. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, takes away sin. How does He do that? The answer is, He does that by bearing the penalty of those sins. Centuries before, Isaiah the prophet spoke in these words, chapter 53, verses 5, 6, and 7, a prophecy of the same Jesus. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. Notice, Jesus in prophecy is compared here to a lamb. Now the figure here is a little different. A lamb brought to the slaughter without protest. But here again, He is the Lamb. And we are compared to sheep, foolish, blind sheep who have gone astray. And God has taken our iniquity and laid it upon Jesus, the Lamb. And He wounded Jesus. He bruised Him. He laid many stripes upon Him. He struck Him for our sins and our iniquities. That's how Jesus, as the Lamb of God, takes the sins that accumulate at our feet and picks them up and brings them far away so that we're no longer chargeable. In our place, He took the full punishment of God. Of special importance is the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There are many in the church world today, probably the majority, the vast majority, that make the world here in this passage and other passages like it to refer to every individual of the human race, every last man, woman, and child ever born. Think about that. Can that be? We're talking about Jesus as the Lamb of God, which actually picks up and takes away and deposits somewhere else the sin of the world. By bearing all the penalty of sin all His life long, but especially at the cross. So that this world, whoever it is, no longer is chargeable for sin. No longer is exposed to the wrath of God, because Christ picked it all up and carried it all away. If the world here is every last man, woman, and child of history, hell will be empty and heaven will be a lot fuller than what the Bible indicates. The term world must be understood in light of the great change that was about to take place with the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Throughout the Old Testament era, for thousands of years, God's covenant and God's salvation was limited to one small nation on the edge of the Mediterranean, the nation of Israel, the Jews. They were the chosen people of God. They alone enjoyed the salvation of God. And it was limited so severely and strictly because the Lamb hadn't come yet and actually taken away sin. The payment of sin had not been made. There was only the promise of it. In keeping with that, there was only one tiny nation that enjoyed the blessings of God, and then not nearly as much and to the capacity that we do today. But God had a larger vision in mind from eternity than that. He was going to bring salvation and establish His covenant among the nations, to all nations, to countless millions, to a whole world of people. No, not every individual. But His people were going to be found and drawn from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And that change was now about to take place because the Lamb of God was about to show Himself and to make His great sacrifice and take away the sin of God's elect people. And He would take away the sins of a whole world. elect out of every tribe, tongue, and nation, and bring them through it the salvation of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Now our second point this morning is the divine source. Certainly, this Lamb that takes away the sin of the world is not of us. It is of God. We're talking about the source of this Lamb. Where he comes from. He is called the Lamb of God to show that he comes from God himself. Certainly, he does not arise from us. We have sinned against God with the whole human race. We have made ourselves worthy of the wrath to come with the whole human race. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do of ourselves to bring salvation. We are not able to take the sins that pile up before us and are chargeable to us and carry them away and dispose of them someplace else so that we stand before God without sin. Nor was Israel, through all their sacrifices, able to do the same. All the lambs they brought to the temple did not pick up and carry away one sin. The Lamb that will take away the sin of the world has to come from God. The Lamb that we need must be God Himself. None less than God Himself come into our flesh. Nothing less will do. And that Lamb God has provided. We are not able to bring God down into our flesh to take away our sins. God did, through the most amazing miracle of history. He sent His own eternal Son through the virgin birth into our flesh, so that we have Jesus, who is truly human, but truly and fully God, and perfectly righteous. This is the Lamb that alone can take our sins and dispose of them for our salvation. And you ask, what would motivate God to do this? After all, we have sinned. We have made ourselves vile in His sight. We have even become His enemies, whose hearts are filled with hatred towards Him. What would move God to do something like this? Jesus Himself, early in His ministry, put His finger on it when He talked to Nicodemus. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Only if God would surrender His own Son and bring His own Son under the horrible punishment and torment of hell on our behalf could our sins be picked up and carried away and we be free of them. He loved the world so much that He hesitated not at all to give even his own son. That love of God that finds its origin in eternity in God's eternal election almost defies understanding. How can one love that way? What great love God has for the world to give even his own son as the Lamb to take away the sin of this world. So that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Finally, notice with me this morning what John called the people to do. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That was a call, first of all, to notice Jesus. Jesus was approaching him. "Look, people, look, the Lamb of God. Take note of him." But more than just look upon him with your physical eye, the call was, look upon him with the eye of faith. Believe in him. Embrace him as the Lamb of God. So that you will also enjoy the removal of your sins in him. That was what John instructed the people to do. That's also our calling as we approach the Lord's table this morning. At the Lord's table, we're going to break the bread. We're going to pour out the wine. There, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, is going to be set before your very eyes. You will see Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world by the terrible death of the cross. Behold him. Look at him. Don't just look at the bread and wine, but look and see the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world, and look at him with the eye of faith. Embracing him. Embracing the love of God that sent him. Embrace him by faith. That also through the sacrament you may enjoy his salvation as the one who takes away the sin of the world and brings life in the place of death. And joy in the place of sorrow. Amen. Father in heaven, thanks be unto thee for thy Son, and for the great sacrifice as the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. Lord, give us faith always to behold him, to embrace him, and in that faith to enjoy his salvation. And now be with us as we go to the table of the Lord. Instruct us from the form and lead us in faith to eat and drink of Christ Jesus. Amen.